Welcome to the Divorced But Not Dead Yet podcast with me, Alicia Topps. This is not a how-to podcast. It's a going-through podcast. Each week, I look forward to sharing my journey to and through divorce with you. Let's laugh, cry, heal, and grow through this crazy experience called divorce together. Hello, and welcome back to the Divorced But Not Dead Yet podcast with me, Alicia Topps. I'm so happy that you came back. Oh gosh, like I said, this podcast thing is new to me. And every time I see that, you know, oh my gosh, there's actually people listening to me. When I get the stats, it excites me and it makes me happy, but it also scares me because I'm like, oh shoot, people are actually listening to me. But welcome back, and I appreciate you spending this time with me. What I want to share with you before I get into the episode is this experience that I had with my son this week. So last week I shared with you guys that I took him to Disneyland and I wore myself out between Disneyland and work and, you know, trying to do this podcast. I was just wiped by the end of the week. So Saturday came and I usually have something incredible. Well, I'm not going to, you know, toot my own horn to say incredible, but I usually try to do an activity with him or take him to an event that makes him really excited. And, you know, I call it going on adventure. But this Saturday, it was just rainy and gloomy and cold. And I was tired and I was just like, we're not going to go out today. And we ended up staying home in our pajamas all day long. And it was the best time ever. We did puzzles. We snuggled on the couch and watched movies. We baked cookies. We ordered pizza. We made popcorn. I ate a lot of calories. We had impromptu pillow fights. It was just so much fun. And what I realized is I put a lot of pressure on myself. And maybe you can relate. When you get divorced, you don't have your child all the time. You're forced to, you know, have them a percentage of the time. And for me, I have a 50-50 custody agreement. So I have him 50% of the time. And a lot of those days that I have him, I work. And so it's like school drop off, come home, you know, school drop off, go to work, pick him up, get home. And it's like, okay, let's do a little schoolwork. Let's get a little TV time in. Let's eat dinner. Let's take a bath. Let's go to bed. And it's very like, go, go, go. So on the days that I have him, he doesn't have school and I don't have work. I really feel this pressure to make it magical and do something and go somewhere. And you also don't want to be the boring house. When you're divorced, it's not like when you're married and it's like, this is your house and this is what we're doing. You have no choice. But when you're divorced or separated, there's two houses and you don't want to be the lame house. You don't want to be the lame parent. You want your child to be at your home. And I find myself just putting a lot of pressure and stressing about wanting him to love to be here. Because the last thing you want to hear is, I have more fun at dad's house or mom's house. Oh my gosh. I'm just thinking about him saying that to me and how I would have, it would feel like, oh, like the worst thing ever. But what I realize is you don't have to do the most. Okay, you don't have to buy all the gifts. You don't have to take him to Disneyland every weekend. You don't have to try to overcompensate. That sometimes doing less is more. Sometimes doing nothing is everything. And we had so much time and I felt so connected with him sitting on the couch, cuddling under a blanket, eating popcorn and pizza, and just having a nice, intimate, quiet day with him. Because when you take them out, I mean, you're not really fully engaging with them. They're playing with other kids. You're waving every 2 minutes like, oh, yeah, I see that. Oh, yeah, that looks fun. But you're not really spending time with them like you do if you're just like you would have been if you were at home. And so what I've realized is I need to relax a little. Stop being so hard on myself. Realize that at the end of the day, all kids want is your time and your attention, and that costs nothing, and you don't have to go anywhere to do it. So if you're a parent right now and you have joint custody or shared custody and you're beating yourself up and stressing yourself out about trying to be the fun parent or making sure they're engaged and making sure they, know that you love them by taking them places and doing all the things, relax. It doesn't matter. You can do those things here and there, but sometimes it's nice to just stay home, sit on the couch in your pajamas, eat a bunch of junk food or healthy food, and be with each other. So that's the lesson I learned this week, and it has definitely delivered me from a lot of stress and anxiety of trying to do the most every day off. And I hope that you hear this, you receive it, and you get deliverance as well. Hallelujah. Okay, so now let's jump into the actual episode. And what I want to talk about in this week's episode is fear. And I think fear is such a huge factor in why we stay in situations that we know aren't good for us anymore. It could be a job, it could be your friendship, it could be a relationship, a marriage. And for me, I know that fear was the main factor that kept me in my relationship way past the point that I should have been. And when thinking about this episode and talking about fear, the first thing I did was Google fear. So I Googled fear, and the definition that I liked the most that I found was the threat of harm, either physical, emotional, psychological, real, or imagined. And I love this definition of fear because of the imagined part. Because most of the fear that we have within us that keeps us stuck is imagined. It's what if this happens? What if, I do this and that happens? And it's not like an actual threat to us. It's not like something's actually happening and we're fearful because it's happening. It's all these imagined outcomes and stories we make up in our mind. For me, it was, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Single. I've never dated before. No one's going to want me. I'm older now. I got a kid now. I got a different body now. I have stretch marks now. Financially, am I going to be able to make it on my own? What are people going to think? And my child's going to be ruined forever. All these fears that kept me stuck, all imagined. None of it's true, but we let our imagination run away with us when it comes to fear, and it keeps us stuck. It keeps us afraid of asking for what we want, asking for what we need. And I know that that was a big issue for me in my marriage. Very fearful. Fearful that if I rock the boat, if I set expectations, if I ask for too much, if I expressed anything that was criticism, even if it was constructive, that it would be a problem. That, oh my gosh, if I say this, this is going to happen. If I ask for this, I won't get it. If I, present this, it's going to be rejected. And so I spent a lot of my marriage silent when it came to expressing myself. And what happens when you let imaginary fear take over is that the very thing that you're afraid of happening happens. I was afraid if I set expectations, and ask for what I want and set boundaries in my marriage, that my partner would leave me. And not just my ex, but in friendships as well. I never have this problem at work, but I would say with people I love and care about, I've always had this fear of if I ask for too much, if I set boundaries, that they'll leave. And of course, I got to dive into childhood issues to figure that out. But all that fear was just overwhelming, all consuming. And like I said, it kept me stuck. And I started making a change in my life and in my thought process leading up to thinking about divorce and during the dissolution of my marriage and things happening. And I started losing that fearfulness. And there was two pivotal things that happened. And I feel like when you're going through like a change or a renaissance, if you know, you know, that there are things that happen in your life that causes that change. And for me, the first one was becoming a mother. You have this baby, they give it to you at the hospital and say, go home, raise a productive member of society. And you're like, you're trusting me? That's how I felt. You're trusting me to take care of a human being? That's a lot of responsibility. But having my son, and as he got older and start growing and crawling and walking and trying to form words, the older he got, the more I realized that I got to get my shit together. Like, I want to teach my child to be strong and speak up for himself and ask for what he wants and don't be afraid to go after your dreams and all this stuff that we want for our kids. And I realized, I looked in the mirror and said, how are you going to teach your child to be this way and you're not this way? You don't embody that. How are you going to lead by an example? You have to get it together. You have to stop being so afraid. You need to open your mouth and speak up for yourself and go after the things you want. And everything you want for him, you have to find within yourself first. And if you don't do that, you're not going to raise him to be this person that you wish you were. And so that kind of led me on my journey to pushing myself to not be so afraid, to try new things. And for me, my main problem was speaking up for myself, asking for what I want, setting expectations, and not being afraid, setting boundaries, and not being afraid of how it's going to make someone feel or if they're going to get mad at me. And of course, if you're in a relationship and the foundation of your relationship is me being a people pleaser, never setting expectations, never asking for anything. And now here I come along switching it up and saying, oh, that's not going to work for me. Oh, I need you to do more of that. Oh, that's not okay. Your partner starts looking at you like, who the F is this? I'm not okay with this new program you're trying to start over here. I need the old you back. This doesn't work for me. And I feel like in my marriage, me getting over my fears, finding my voice was a huge factor of things kind of falling apart. And I feel like me keeping my mouth closed for so long is the only reason why our marriage lasted as long as it did. Had I gotten over these fears earlier, we probably wouldn't have been together as long. And so once I realized that this is the child I want to raise, and so I have to embody that, it pushed me. It pushed me out of my comfort zone. It took a little time, but it really pushed me to stop being so fearful. And I'm pretty sure a lot of you can relate to that. It's nothing like having a child that helps you get your stuff together real quick. And so that was my first pivotal moment that kind of got me on the road to living a more authentic and less fearful life. And the second experience is not so deep, but it was definitely a moment that really was like, okay, this is it. So I went to a spa with I was at a spa with my sister-in-law, and we were both scheduled to get a body scrub. And so we walk into, we get to the spa, they walk us over to our appointments, and I look in the room and I'm like, what the heck is this? I'm used to going to a spa, you get your own room, it's quiet, they have the, aromatherapy going, and there's some privacy. But this place where they were doing the body scrubs was like, it reminded me of like where they hang the meat in a butcher, or almost like a morgue. Like maybe I'm remembering this wrong, but you know how like they have the vinyl plastic hanging, and you walk through, and then you go in there, and it's just like tables and tables of meat. That's how I felt. So I walk into this area where they're doing the body scrubs, and there's just rows and rows and rows of beds, with plastic on them, and it's soaking wet all over the floor. And I'm just like, this is not what I imagined. So the women are laying there, they're all naked, and then that's where I realized, oh my gosh, they're gonna ask me to take my bathing suit off. So me, I've always been terrified of people seeing my body in public. So this was like my worst nightmare. So my sister-in-law, she's a hippie. She's just like, before they could ask her, I think she was already butt naked. But for me, it was like, oh my gosh, I have to take off my bathing suit. And so I'm in this room or this area with all these naked women on these rows of plastic covered like tables. And the lady, she's like, okay, take your clothes off. You have to take it off. And I'm just like freaking out because I haven't had sex in a long time. I'm not worried about that area. And so I can't remember the last time I had taken care of it. So I'm worried about people seeing my bush. I didn't shave. I like my body, and I'm having a full on like panic attack. Eventually, with some maneuvering, I'm like on the table trying to get the clothes off and cover all my lady parts at the same time, and trying not to pass out because I'm overwhelmed with anxiety. And I lay on the table and I'm laying there. I'm like, okay, I don't think anyone saw me. I'm laying here, I'm trying to calm down. She's scrubbing me, she's throwing water on me, and then she keeps asking me if I want a scalp massage. And I'm like, no, I just scrub my body. And she keeps asking me, you sure, you sure? And I don't know if it was like a language barrier, but all of a sudden, all I know is that her hands are in my hair. And then all I know is my hair is off my head because I was wearing a wig, y'all. So I'm in this room, butt naked, clothesless, wigless, and the lady starts screaming because she wasn't expecting my hair to fall off my head and into her hand. And then I try to jump up, and I'm wet, and I'm on this plastic, and I'm slipping, and I'm sliding all over the place. And while I'm slipping and sliding, she's running after me, trying to put my wig back on my head. And everyone jumps up and they're looking. Now I'm the spectacle that I was afraid of being, that I had imagined I was when I had to get naked. Now I'm really a spectacle. Now I'm butt naked. I have no hair on my head. The lady screaming, everyone's looking at me, and I swear I died and I saw my soul leave my body. And eventually, in a split second, I was like, girl, what are you doing? Get it together. What the heck are you so afraid of? No one cares about your hair. Nobody cares about your body. Nobody cares about you. Get over yourself. And in that moment, all that imagined fear and fear just kind of left my body. I think the last little ounce I had left my body for good. And I was like, you know what? I grabbed the wig, I hung it up next to my bathing suit, I laid on the table, free and naked as a jaybird, clothesless and wigless, and enjoy the rest of my body scrub. And I spent the rest of the day at the spa. I threw that wig and my bathing suit in the locker and walked around butt naked and free. And it was in that moment that I went from fear to freedom. And I've kind of been living my life naked ever since. Not literally, but figuratively. And I hope that while you're going through this process, that you have a liberating experience as well. Hopefully it's not as traumatic as my naked and afraid moment at the spa, but I feel like everyone that goes through this process, and it's going to force you to grow, has moments that pushes them to start getting over their fear. And then that second moment, that's just like, I don't give an F anymore. And I challenge you to ask yourself, how is fear impacting my life? How is fear impacting my decisions? Is it keeping you in a bad relationship, in a job you don't want, in a friendship that's one-sided, keeping you from advocating for yourself, for your child? And I can't wait for you if you're in the spot where you're just engrossed by fear and just consumed by fear, that soon your moment of freedom will come and you will go from fear to freedom. Thank you for listening to my TMI episode on fear today, and I really hope you enjoyed it. If you like it, please download the show so that the episodes load on your next up for the podcast app so you don't miss an episode. And if you like it, share with someone that you think could benefit from it. You can follow me on at Divorce Not Dead Yet on Instagram. And I enjoyed this time with you, and I hope you enjoyed this time with me. And like I said in the trailer, we're friends now. So you get all the dirty details on my journey through this process. And until next week, stay sane and stay radiant. Bye.